Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Lord, you are the party. When your disciples watched you go up, you had two angels come down and say, just as he went up, he's going to come back. And Lord, your word is very silent. It doesn't tell us what happened in heaven when you went up over the 40 days until the day of Pentecost. It's very quiet, Lord. We don't know. But Lord, we got a feeling that heaven was having its own party. I believe there was a shaking because the King of Glory had conquered. Lord, the only thing your word lets us know about what probably transpired during those 40 days was that on the day of Pentecost, like the sound of a rushing violent wind, the Holy Ghost had just left a party and he was coming down to take a bride. What kind of a party was happening in heaven? When Jesus was baptized, the Holy Ghost came like a dove. He was quiet and meek and like a dove. But after those 40 days of partying, he wasn't no dove. He was now the rushing, violent wind of God. Raise your hands and say, Lord, let that party spirit be in me. Right there, take it. Just take it. Just take it. Take hold. Take hold. Let that party spirit, that heavenly party, that heavenly party. We're not of this world. We are not of this world. You are worthy of my praise. You are worthy of my praise. Jesus, glory to your name. You are worthy of my praise. You are worthy of my praise. Jesus, glory to your name. You are worthy of my praise. You are worthy of my praise. Jesus, glory to your name. Take it up. Hallelujah. Worthy of my praise. You are worthy of my praise. Jesus, glory to your name. There's a fresh wave of God. A fresh wave of God. Of my praise. You are worthy of my praise. Move this back 1 foot. Move it back. The pulpit. Move the pulpit. Woo! Woo! Hallelujah! Perfect. Woo! One last time. One last time. You are worthy of my praise. to your name. Hallelujah! 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 Praise God! Praise God! Praise God! We win! We win! We win! We win! We win! Hallelujah! There's a baptism of victory in this house. A baptism of victory! Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Woo! How do you stop that? Whew. Jesus. Boy, I like that name. Something about that name. Jesus. When he called his 12 disciples together, now just raise your hands and listen to this, because you're going to receive something. It says he gave them authority, and they received what he gave them. He said, go out and get the victory. Amen. Say, I receive authority.
Authority.
Heaven's authority. Jesus' authority. I'm a winner because he is in me and his authority's on me. I'm destined for good things. Say hallelujah. Yeah. Woo. Yeah. Man, Jesus is good. The devil starts lying to you, and you know he does. You just laugh at him. Everybody, nobody likes to be laughed at. When you start to laugh, you release authority. Ha, ha, ha. You're a liar. You're a liar. I read the book. And there's a new one out, too. You say, where's the devil this morning? He's down at the chemist getting an aspirin. There's a new Bible out. It's going to tell you about victory. Yeah! We're the children of victory. Excuse me. You guys are easy to preach to. I got to go back here a little bit. I said we're the children of victory. Woo! Yeah! Yeah! Woo! Hallelujah. Why don't we let Jesus just be Jesus? And sometimes the Holy Ghost says, you know, there's not enough praise in the earth. There's not enough just releasing.
Amen.
Lord, we already spent our 20 minutes. Do we have to spend more? This yank. Come on. You know, I love that movie, Evan Almighty. Have you seen that?
Yes.
And God comes to the lady and says, when you need patience, do you ask the Lord for patience? or does he give you an opportunity? And in Britain, when an Englishman asks for patience, does the Lord give you patience or does he give you a yank? Well, I tell you what, I just... Sometimes it's all right just to bask in the victory presence of Jesus. Your mind doesn't like it, but your spirit, it says, hey. We'll take it. You can be seated if you want. But if you go back to your seat, don't return to formality. It's 12 o'clock. My time's up. It's been a joy to be in Britain. This is my home. This is my hub for my calling. I was walking with the cross in Norwich and Guildford, and yesterday I was in Worthing. We just had such a wonderful time. Anybody go on that in Worthing? It's wonderful to go in and just shine light, preach to Britain, plant seed into thousands and thousands of people's lives, see people come to Jesus, other people just still not quite sure. We're just praying with them and praying with them and praying. We prayed with a lot of people yesterday. We just attack these cities. You know, you can't make someone come to Christ, but you sure can love them. You can go out in a bold love. I call it in-your-face love. Oh, that's a lovely. There we go. Amen. We're God's people, and I believe it's time for glory in Britain. I believe it's time for a breaking loose. I just believe it's in the hour. Where we get over the top. Because he's anointed our head with oil and our cups overflowing. Where Englishmen don't look like Englishmen. They look like heaven. Praise God. What's he's been drinking? I don't know. It sure is good. It's holy and it's ghost. God is good. We're living in a critical hour. Things are coming on the earth. There will be judgments, and judgments that bring great glory and great separation, great shaking and separation, so that the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, will look more pretty and the world will be more dark. There'll be division. Don't let it shake you. You're on the right team. And the Bible says it. The Bible's very clear, so you can't be shocked when these things come. If you're shocked, it's because you're not reading. And you're not abiding in the spirit of that word that can keep you. And in times, men will fail because their love grows cold. So you got to keep your love up high. Your faith. No, your love. Now, we know we got to keep our faith up high, but you got to keep your love up high. Friday morning, and I got a message. It won't take me long to get through the message. But Friday morning, the power of God hit us, and the Holy Spirit said to me, there needs to be more of a cry in my body for my return. Amen. You know, so many times we preach revival, revival. There is no real New Testament doctrine of revival. Jesus said, I'm going to go, and I'm going to come. And they lived like he was going to come. And that brought revival. That brought waves of the breath of God. Because they thought, he may come tonight. He may come before I get done. And that's fine with me. I heard somebody say, I hope he'd come before you get done. I hope he'd come now. I don't have to listen to you. There's not enough of a cry. You know, the groom wants to know the bride really wants to marry him. And the Holy Spirit knows the groom. And he'll come and he'll give us little secrets about what the groom is feeling. Did you know that Jesus has feelings? Did you know he's a man like you, but he's all God, clothed in glory, the glory he had before the foundation of the world? But he is a man. And the Holy Spirit was saying, listen, this is what Jesus is kind of feeling. Are you really hungry for his return? The Bible ends with, come, Lord Jesus. The Spirit and the bride say, come. That's the Holy Ghost messing with the bride saying, hey, come on. Hunger for return. And see, I believe that as we hunger for return, we'll speed things up. Oh, come on. What's your theology on that? The miracle of Cana. Jesus said, it's not my time. And all of a sudden, a human person, his mother, put enough pressure on the father that time changed. And he was released into his ministry. Jesus did not know that was coming. He doesn't know the time and season. Do you know why Jesus does not know the time and season? Because the Father is also working with us, getting us to a place, and we're allowing him to get us into a place. So there has to be some flexibility. So the Father shields it from the Son because he's overseeing all. Jesus didn't even know that he was going to start his ministry that day. He said, it's not my time. Oh, yeah, it is. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that we have that kind of authority before the throne? Oh, come on. You don't get sleepy on me. Now change my message. What's going on? You have authority. With how we live our lives, with how we hunger, we can accelerate this thing. Don't think the devil's the only one who accelerates with the sin and the things that you see. We can accelerate things. I got real loud there and I'm sorry. Amen. I've got a message, so I got to get moving on it. I heard someone say, Sunday's lunch is in the oven. How much time is it going to take? Amen. Anybody have Sunday's lunch in the oven? Amen. Turn to Luke 24. It's missions day. Luke 24:47. I'm so drunk I can't find it. Woozy. The Bible says that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. As a people, we have to be carriers of, I believe, there's several things in this verse that we need to be carriers of. First of all, carriers of repentance. I believe that repentance is a gift. It's the goodness of God that leads a man to the point where he says, I'm sorry. I believe that when I go into city centers and I'm looking at people, I'm saying, God, put into my belly something from heaven that releases men to come into a understanding of their need of repentance. It begins with this. But it really doesn't begin with repentance. It begins with goodness. Because it's goodness that draws a man's soul to come to this place. It's a gift. I believe it's a gift. Because God never had to give it. But he gives it. It's a gift. And I believe that as a church, we have to stop positioning ourselves to tell the world, you need to repent. But that we be carriers of this wonderful gift, that when we're with them, smiling with them, telling them the truth, that Holy Ghost of God, for when the Holy Ghost comes, he will convict the world of sin. We've got to say, God, increase my spirit to carry this. And then it says forgiveness. Forgiveness is wonderful. This is what God's looking for. This is what man hungers the most from God. To know I'm forgiven. When a man gets to the place where he realizes I'm wrong. That's not where God wants to leave him. He wants to bring him into the place of release and total forgiveness. I love the story of the prodigal son. A long way off, the father saw him. And like any parent, usually mothers, they know how their children walk. Don't they? They're so sensitive. And he could see a way off. He said, that's my son. And the only time in scripture where it shows the picture of a God who would run to man. He ran to him. That was very anti-Jewish culture. And to think that God would run to you and grab hold of you. You just came out of the pigsty. You've been eating pig mess. Your breath smells like pig food. Amen? You look like the pig. You smell like the pig. Your breath is like the pig's food. And yet God ran and held him. And began to kiss him. You and I would be, why don't you bathe first? Then we'll have a proper greeting. Can you imagine the love of God to come to you while you're in your unbelief, your bad attitude, your sin, your bondage, and he begins to kiss you? Those lips of God, I mean, it's, you know, and just to kiss you. Now the son begins to repent, but it doesn't look like the father's really listening. Because as soon as the son starts talking, he starts giving orders. Get the robe of authority. The righteousness. He's not going to be a servant. He's going to be my child. Get the ring that says he belongs in the family and what he says goes. Oh, and start killing the fatted calf. And you know, so many times we miss the story. The killing of the calf wasn't for the son. The other son thought it was. How many of us sometimes get bad attitudes about what God does for one of our brethren? The party was for the father. It was in the heart of God. The father. This is my son. He's back. He's wearing the robe. He's got the ring on. Let's party. And the party wasn't for the son. It was for the father. And see, let me tell you something. I believe when we allow this party spirit of God in us, we'll break through in Britain. I think people are tired of dry, dull religion. There's a party in the heart of God. It's freedom. Thank you for your preacher, Father. Thank you for your messenger. Thank you for my sister. Wow. And thank you for Britain. My mama called me on the phone. She says, son, you preach like fire tomorrow. She says, you give back to that nation what it sowed into ours with all the revivals of years gone by. You go there and you give to them as a repayment of what that nation gave to ours. I said, yes, ma'am, and happy Mother's Day. It's Mother's Day today in America and in Germany. And if you're from Germany, happy Un Mother's Day in Uven. Oof. That's German. That we be carriers of repentance, that we be releasers of forgiveness. The thief on the cross, he simply said, remember me. Can you imagine the disciples there? You better get down and let's go through your whole history of every sin you've committed. Get off that cross. He simply said, remember me. And Jesus, I believe in the Spirit, reached out and grabbed hold of his Spirit. Can you imagine on the cross he was still changing lives? And he said, I'm telling you today, not tomorrow, but today, you're going to be with me. He was releasing the man. We have to be carriers of this. But then it says, preached. Oh, I like that word, preached. I believe there needs to be a restoration of preaching in Britain for souls. There's a lot of wonderful ways to reach lost people. Wonderful ways. But I'm talking about the evangelists who preach. Where we draw the line. This is the line. And God wants you to cross it. And put pressure, not be polite, but be in love. Sometimes we mistake polite for love. Amen? Hey, we don't want to be over the top now, do we? No, of course we don't. We want to be further. Forget the top! Preached. I believe that God is walking into the garden of men's lives. They're hiding behind the bushes of secular humanism, of pride and lust and greed. And God, I say, Lord, come, let your voice be upon my voice and help me go into these gardens of men's lives. And that when I speak, would you speak? Would you begin to draw them out into the light? That needs to be our prayer. Walk into those gardens the way you walked into Adam and Eve's garden. You knew where they were, but they didn't know where they were. And Lord, it's your voice that begins to give a man understanding of where he is. So many times we limit God of how he's going to save somebody. You know, salvation is not really a mystery anymore, but it still is a mystery. I mean, look in the mirror. Look at yourself. It's a mystery how God saved you. You can go back and look at the first time the Holy Ghost came upon you and the introduction to the ways of God and to God began in your life. And you can think back about all the different struggles. And you knew it's the Holy Spirit now. You didn't know it was then. But see, God foreordained you to be saved, as he did all men. And when the Holy Ghost came upon you, there was a working. And finally, you came to the point, a sanctifying of the Spirit unto obedience of the faith, where you finally believed, and the sprinkling of the blood came. That's what we're doing. We're going out and we're bringing the sanctifying of work of the Holy Spirit into people's lives. Yesterday we saw really hard people. It's amazing all the bitter people out there. And when you go out there, it comes out of their eyes. And you see the bitterness. Oh, what bitterness. And I'm thinking, oh, Christians, don't entertain bitterness. Because the bitterness that Christians entertain, they try to control it. As if there's a Christian form of bitterness. Versus the world's form of bitterness. But when you go out there and you see the world and you see the bitterness and that spirit that's on them, oh Lord, please, I'm quick to forgive. Quick to make my heart soft. But these have to be our prayers. Lord, that I be a carrier of repentance. A carrier of the gift of forgiveness. A preacher that the voice of the Lord can talk to people in his name. Oh boy, if I get into that one, I won't be able to stop. In his name. Ooh, name above every name. That's the name we carry. I remember I had a grandfather named Bob. Bob was 84 years old. Bob was hard. He didn't love God. He said the Bible's fairy tales. He got diagnosed with cancer. And so grandma and grandpa, they're not real close to the rest of the family. So but my wife said, we've got to go visit Granddad Bob. So the night before, I just began to pray for him. About 10 o'clock at night, it felt like the heavens were brazen. I thought, surely this man's going to go to hell because I can't get anything from God for him. He has said no so many times. He has said no so many times. He has said no so many times. He has been around the gospel and said no so many times. He's encapsulated in his own unbelief, and it's a prison. And that prison will take him into hell. Don't be mocked. God's not mocked. What you sow is what you reap. And a lot of people are living in a whole field of tall corn. I call it good old Ohio corn, 10 foot high. And once you get in that field, you don't see anything. And they have planted seeds their whole life. And then they say, I don't believe in God. Of course you don't. Because your harvest is barren of the Spirit of God. You're living in your own hell. And when you die, you will go to hell. And that's not God's will. But God is not mocked. What you sow is what you reap. No man will point to God. I began to pray. 11 o'clock, nothing's happened. 12 o'clock, nothing's happening. I didn't give up. I don't know why I didn't give up. It just must have been God. All of a sudden, it was close to 2 o'clock in the morning. And the Holy Spirit, you know, the Holy Spirit knows the Father. You ever get in trouble with your own father, but your mother, you know, she kind of stands in between. And she says, if you say it like this to your father, things will go better. You ever understand? You know, moms, that's why the Catholics pray to Mary. They just feel it get a little extra. Little extra. But they misunderstand. The Holy Spirit's like that. And the Holy Spirit, around 2 o'clock, he said, in Peter, it says that God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come unto repentance. Why don't you try praying that? It was like that. It was like that. And I just, with a boldness, began to just push, and something broke. And something came down in me. I felt impregnated with his salvation. Now, it doesn't mean he was going to be saved, but I was carrying something that I got from God for him. It was mercy for him to hear one more time and to get that thing broken. And so he could make another decision. And so we went up to visit. Long story made short, he had the oxygen on his, you know, face. And grandma was there. All the kids were there. After an hour, grandma said, that's enough. He needs rest. And she was shooing us out. And I felt like something was dying in me. Because I didn't release what God gave me. And I didn't know how to get... I just finally said, stop! I want to pray before we all go. And everybody stopped, just because, I don't know why, but they're not believers. And I just prayed. And the presence of God came down. But then as soon as I said amen, I mean, I couldn't pray all day. I had to say amen sometime. And you ever been in that place where you know God wants to do something and time's running out? You're going to miss your opportunity? Grandma takes everybody out. And I went over to Bob and I knelt down and I said, listen to me. And I began to share the gospel, shared what God did for me. And a tear begins to run down his eyes. He says, it's been a long time since I've heard that. Heard what? Heard what? The gospel? No, the Spirit of God. A Christian? No, the Spirit of God. And we took hands and we prayed. And he gave his heart to Christ. He died 10 days later. You need to go. We've got to be carriers of this. Stand to your feet. That was part one. It's missions week. We've got to be carriers in prayer. It takes prayer. But before I go, I want the Holy Ghost to impregnate you with something. Are you ready? It's the four M's of missions. M for missions. I believe you're going to go out of here with an M. You're going to have an understanding of the M of his missions. The first M of missions is his mission. Luke 19:10 says that I came to seek and to save that which was lost. M for his mission. Jesus looks for you. He looks for people. He loves the big crowd and he loves the little crowd and he loves the Zacchaeus in a tree. And his eyes could see him. Why? Because of the M of his mission, to seek and to save that which was lost. My prayer, God, I want to wear the mantle of your M of your mission. I want to be sensitive to the M of your mission, to seek and to save, that when I look at somebody, oh Holy Spirit, are you seeking? Are you saving? Can I be a part of this? M for missions. And the first M is his mission. Number two, the M of his ministry. In Luke chapter 7, Jesus said, go and tell John, the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame are walking, and the dead are rising, and the poor are hearing the gospel. Luke chapter 4, the Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty those that are bruised. The M of his ministry. He had a mission and he had a ministry. Number three, the M of his mastery. The mastery. He could walk on water. He could multiply the loaves and fish. A four-day-old dead man was no problem because of the M of his mastery. One day, Jairus came to him and said, Jesus, would you please come to my house? My daughter's at the point of death. She's teetering into life and death. He said, I'll come. And he followed him. But all of a sudden, people came from his house and said, don't bother the master. The Greek says teacher, but it meant master, one who has mastered something, so he's a teacher. And let me tell you, he's the master. How do you walk on water? Did he ever just go out and practice when it was still? M for his mastery. The Bible says that when he went into the home, there was the little girl. I think her name was Talitha. And the Bible says he took her by the hand. But when you look in the Greek, he seized her hand. He took a firm grip on it. In fact, he mastered her hand. Because there was something in Jesus flowing out that took the mastery. M, his mission. M, his ministry. M, his mastery. He's the master. They could never get anything over on Jesus. He would walk in and the Pharisees would set him up, put a crippled man out there. If he heals him, we kill him. And Jesus knew it. But the master looked at the man with compassion and healed him. M, his mastery. Number four, M for his majesty. When he had purged our sins by himself, he went up and sat at the right hand of majesty. We are carriers of his mission, of his ministry, of his mastery, and of his majesty. That when we go out to tell people, we're walking in the M of his mission. That when we look at people, we say, oh, I know someone who's come to seek and to save you. Oh, the M of his ministry. For the Spirit of the Lord is on me. And the M of his mastery. I can do all things through the Master who strengthens me. And to know that we wear his majesty. We are the children of his majesty. When you go into Horsham, when you go into Worthing, when you go into wherever, you wear the four M's. His mission. His ministry. His mastery. And his majesty. Now you understand. Joy, come here. Stand here. Turn around and face them.
She wasn't ready for this, but that's okay. Oh, you're ready for this? Oh, wonderful. Take about four steps forward. You see, and I'm almost done. I thought I was going to preach all day. Am I still on?
You see, that's why Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem until you're clothed with power from on high. He was talking about the Holy Ghost because the Holy Spirit has the M of his mission and the M of his ministry and the M of his mastery and the M of his majesty. And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost came down and clothed the church. Power. Power. For religious services? Never. You're clothed. Now let's break out of religion. Let's break into the M of his mission. The M of his ministry. The M of his mastery. The M of his majesty. How you doing? Feels good, doesn't it? Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. You can keep it on for a second. Raise your hands. I will close in prayer. Because I know I can feel some of you are thinking, time. 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 You know, time is for us to redeem, but not control God with. Father, I've done what I know to do today. I release those simple words, faith words, heaven's words, the M of your ministry, your mission, your majesty, your mastery. I pray like a garment that there would be an encapsulation of lives today to prepare them for this week. That when they walk into Horsham, the M of his mission is released, seeking and saving. The M of your ministry. The blind see, the lame walk, the dead are raised, the gospel preached. The M of your mastery, that there is nothing that will face them this week that you have not already got the mastery of. And Lord, I praise for such a presence of majesty. King's kids walking into the city center to bring light and to bring the biddings of heaven. Not religion, not politeness that's political, based in fear, but a boldness of love to release forgiveness and repentance and forgiveness and the voice of God. If you've come today, put your hands down for a second, just 1 minute. My best friend is here today. He's my God and my Savior. His name's Jesus. And if you've come here today, just close your eyes. I want you to listen to your heart. If you've come today and you say, my life isn't right with God, and I don't even know why I'm here today, I know why. Because he was seeking you to save you and to bring life into you. Maybe someone brought you today. And today you're hearing that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the Son of God, who died on a cross and went to hell, and on the third day was raised so you could live. Today, I want to ask you, are you ready to receive the love of God? Are you ready to receive the gift of God? Forgiveness. Because Jesus is here for you. With every head bowed and eye closed, if you've come in this place, you say, preacher, will you pray for me? I need to get right with God. Just raise your hand and just wave at me. I see those hands. If you've come here and you know, see, I can't save you, but the Holy Ghost is working. And when he works, you get a little nervous inside. And your feet feel like there's concrete on them. That's a good understanding that the Holy Ghost is dealing with a man's heart. Is there anyone else? Let's say a prayer all together. Raise your hands, everybody. And if you raise your hand and you're saying, and I see that, mister, I see that. Let's just pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I come to you. And I'm asking you to forgive me. I'm really sorry. And I believe that you're the Son of God. And that you died for me. And I receive you. And your forgiveness, and your power, and your love fill me today as a child of the living God. In Jesus' mighty name, thank you so much that you love me. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, guess what? I have the authority to say something to you. You're forgiven. It's by the word of God. But I know some of you raised your hands and God heard it. God heard it. And he loves you so much. Amen. Hallelujah. You ready to take it back?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Ooh, raise your hands. There's just another wave just right there. Ooh. Ooh. Father, a fresh anointing. A fresh anointing. That when they go out into the world today, that they would sense that steamy hot presence of God. That anointing. That joy. The Holy Ghost. Just take a deep breath. Some of you need to let go of some stuff. Right there it is. There's an anointing. Just come down and break that thing. Just to break it. Just to break it. Just to break it. Just to break it off. Just take a big breath. Fill your lungs with the anointing. And things have to change.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.